words, Lord. And I just pray right now, God, that no matter what anyone's going through this morning, whatever it is that they need, Lord, that you would be a comfort and a strength to them, that you would give peace to them, Lord, that they would be able to say, no matter what I go through, it is well with my soul. Knowing that they're secure in faith, secure as children of God, knowing, Lord, that you are in control, knowing, Lord, that one day, and a day is coming and a day is near, that we will see you face to face. So I just pray for every single person here this morning, every single family, Lord. Going through tough times, hard times is not a nice thing, Lord, but we know, God, that you walk there through those times with us, and through those seasons with us. So just thank you, Lord, that you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. I just thank you, God, for the comfort and the strength, the courage and the peace that comes from you. We just want to give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's a pretty hard act to follow, actually. It's a beautiful song. That song's that's close to 150 years old now. You all know the background of that song with Horatio Spafford, and back in the 1870s. What's that? That's about 1873, the accident happened. So what's that? That's that 150 years? Yeah. And for those who don't know, Spafford was he's a born-again believer. And one who was in a sense succeeding in life. I think he was a businessman, and things were going really well. He had multiple estates and things like that, real estates and stuff. And but he had what, five kids, four girls, one boy. The little boy died, got sick and died. Then the Great Chicago Fire through in 1871 ripped through Chicago, basically burnt down everything he owned. And then it was a couple of years after that, 1873, he wanted to have a family vacation in Europe, and he sent his family off first, his wife and his four girls. And on that trip, it must have been the Atlantic Ocean, going across on ship, the storm hit. The ship broke up, ship sank, girls died. And then his wife sent a telegram when she got to, I don't know, I think it was Europe somewhere, but it's basically saved alone. Quite incredible, really, to lose everything. But in a sense, he didn't lose everything, because he had everything, which was Jesus. And so on the trip to go across to meet his wife, they stopped the boat where the ship sank, and that's where he penned, "It is well with my soul." Oh, that inspires me. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like a sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Wow. I've got a lot of heroes in the faith in the Bible, but I tell you what, this guy is a hero of mine. To be able to go through what he went through and then pen those words. Gosh, that man must have had a deep faith. Man must have had a faith that was just sold out for Jesus. And 150 years later, we're still talking about this guy. 150 years later, we're still singing his song. His song, it's his testimony, testimony of, we go through trials and hardships. There's no doubt, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, Jesus never said, "Follow me and life will be easy." Wouldn't it be good if he did? "Follow me and life will be easy." In fact, it's the opposite. "Follow me, and life will be tough. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. They'll persecute you because of the name that you follow or the name that you wear." And so, but this brings me great comfort that no matter what I go through, God's with us. He hasn't given up on us. He's the source of all comfort. He's the source of all strength. He's the source of all joy. You know, we try and get comfort in many different ways, many different things. But there's only one true comforter, and that is God himself. He's the God of all comfort. Sometimes chocolate can be a comfort, comfort food. But when you eat chocolate, it's a comfort for like about 10, 15 minutes. And then 30 minutes later, an hour later, you kind of feel sick. Yes. So going through a hard time and you have chocolate might make you feel better in the moment, but it ain't going to make you feel better, you know, long term. It's the strength and the courage that God gives us, the comfort that Christ gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us, that enables us to endure and get through to the end. And no doubt this guy experiences. Trevor, you want to say something? Come on up. Yes, no, you feel free, please. Save me. No.
Just while Matt winds up his sermon. It's on the same vein, and it's about people going through a trial. And we had some quite close acquaintances this week whose 15-year-old son decided he wanted to go fishing in the Fiji Islands in Nandi, close to the village of Nuvatu-Levu. Some of you know where it is. And the boy went fishing, and he fell into the pond. And his head was underwater, but his mates pulled him out after we don't know how long. And he was coughing and spluttering, and then there was some concern for him, so they got him to the hospital, which was quite some way away, but he didn't make it. And his dad is a fly-in, fly-out aircraft engineer in Papua New Guinea, and he had to come home, of course. But it's tragic for them. The parents' names are Tavita and Ma. The mother's name's Ma. But I was corresponding with him last night, and he came back with this few words. Buller Uncle Trevor, we thank God for Inoki's life, as he has a better, and thank God for his life, as he has a better plan for him. And I thought, how courageous. Absolutely. After the tragedy they've been through.
Yeah.
But it's same vein, eh?
Absolutely, yeah.
You can preach your sermon there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't wish that on upon anyone. But the thing is, God knows, because God was the one who sent his son who died for all humanity. God lost his son. Saw his son die on a cross. You know, so God knows. It's easy for me to say that because it hasn't happened to me, but I just know that no matter what we go through, our true strength, true source of strength, true source of comfort, true source of peace comes from God and God alone. And this guy knew that. Horatio Spafford knew that. And also Trevor's friend knows that as well. So, yeah, so that song just kills me all the time, just wrecks me. But I'm just so inspired by Horatio Spafford. And, yeah, what an incredible life. What incredible words that he wrote. And but I love to sing that last verse again, because there is coming a day where we're going to see Jesus face to face. Amen? There's coming a day, and I think that day is very soon, that we're going to see Jesus face to face. The trumpet will sound, the Lord will descend, and will take us home. Hallelujah. And the way the world's going at the moment, I think those times are getting closer and closer. I mean, they're always getting closer each by day, but closer than they were like last week. But you feel it's sense. You sense it's very close when the Lord is coming to take his bride back with him. So be prepared. Be prepared. Now, just before I jump into our message for this morning, I just want to remind you, Shape. We're going to be running Shape on Tuesday night, starting on the 1st of August, and we're going to be running the course or the study every second week for the couple of months. I think it's August, September, and three parts of October. So, and our Connect groups are getting together. It's all part of our strategy when it comes to Come Holy Spirit, which is our theme for the year. And we want to know what our God shape is and what our giftings are. So SHAPE is just an acronym. SHAPE is spiritual gifts. The S is the spiritual gifts. God has given us gifts. He's given us spiritual gifts. Do we know what our spiritual gifts are? Heart, what's the passions of your heart? This can, by finding these things out, can actually give us an idea, actually, where we fit, what our shape is, and how we can use that to not only glorify God, but how we can use that to build God's kingdom or help in partnership with the Holy Spirit to build God's kingdom here on the earth. A is for abilities, your gifts, your natural gifts. What are you really good at? And are you using those gifts to bring glory to God? Are you using those gifts to serve one another, serve the body of Christ? P is your personality. We all have different personalities. Some people are quiet, some people are loud. Some people are good listeners. Some people just won't, take trouble holding this thing together. But what's your personality and how you can use your personality to be able to minister to one another? And then E is experience. We've all gone through and had some life experience. And that life experience is able to help us to be able to minister to people, the body of Christ, our community. So I said last week, I've had some experience working with guys in addiction. Not everyone's had that experience, but that experience has given me tools to help people who are in addiction. If they want help, that's the big thing, if they want help. But certainly that experience is able to help me be able to minister to people, who are seeking help, who are struggling with, some uncontrollable issues. So Tuesday night, starting on the 1st of August, so when we want to open this up for the whole church, want the whole church to come along. It doesn't matter if you're in a connect group or not, but also for connect groups, we're going to be joining together. We want a sense of unity. That's, just feel like this is what Holy Spirit wants to do for the next couple of months. So that's it, 1st of August, 7:30 p.m. Be there or be square. It's a shape. Yes, it's a shape. That's true. And also, just one other thing before we move on to the message. When we were over in Uganda earlier this year, it became quite apparent to us the dropout rate of students, particularly after they leave primary school at Wasawa. There's something like about 25% dropout rate with the kids who need to go to secondary school, and they've got to get to Lagazi, which is Lagazi is like about 10 km from Wasawa. That's the town village of Wasawa. But if they live on the other side, it's longer, and they've got to walk back, or they need to board, and so the kids are dropping out. It's too far. It's too expensive. Families can't afford school fees or can't afford to pay boarding fees. So we asked Alan, those kids who are really in desperate need, that they need to get to school and into secondary school, who are they? And we'll see if we can help in some way. And he's given us four kids. And as a leadership team, we felt with Faith Promise Giving this year, part of that, we want to help support them over the next 12 months, get them back into school. So these are four kids who are no longer studying at school because of the distance or because of the cost, or mainly the cost. As a leadership team, we said, right, we want to help them be able to fulfill their God-given potential and want to give them the opportunity to be able to, be whom everything that God's called them to be. So here's Nantabo. So we're going to support him as a church over the next 12 months. Her, sorry. Go back to the first one. Yeah. And that's Jimmy. Is that the first one? Oh, okay. So we've got Jimmy. So we're going to support Jimmy. The next one is Nantabo. So that's female. You right? Sorry. It's the light. Prossy. Yeah, Prossy girl. Yeah, thank you. and Paul. Yeah. So... But we want to give these guys every opportunity, as I said, to be able to fulfill their God purpose and their God potential in the world. And that includes education. So for the next 12 months, out of our faith promise, some of that's going to go to help these guys get educated. So that's a good thing, I think. You all agree with that? Yeah. Not too bad. It's already done. But also on that, just can I just say, it's kind of paramount that we buy this land, this 2.5 acres of land, which is all in the process. It's happening, but it's just happening, you know, probably not, yeah, not as fast as we want, but it's in the motion. So can you please keep praying for you know, the land. The landowner is willing to sell the land, that 2.5 acres, which is the primary school is on, but it's not big enough to put a high school or a secondary school on. So we need to buy additional land. And the landowner is quite positive with releasing more land to us. But we need to pray. So if you can keep praying that God's favour would be, you know, on us and on the board over there in Lagazi with Deliverance Church, and that, you know, this will happen really quickly. So we can get a school up there, a secondary school up there, up and running, and so we don't have all these kids falling out of school because of costing and distance and things like that. So for me, it's like it's got to happen now. It's got to happen yesterday. Sharon knows that's the issue I face. Everything's got to be happened yesterday. And so when it comes to other countries and how they do things, it can be a little bit slow. So I just need to be a bit patient. But that the 2.5 acres is on the go, isn't it? It's pretty much, hopefully within the next 4 weeks, we might be able to transfer some money across and that land will become ours, God willing. But can you please be praying? You know, really need your prayers. It's not just that the landowner released the land, she's willing to do that, but it'll just happen really quickly so we can actually start building a secondary school. Is that okay? It's awesome. All right, so let's get into our message this morning. We've been going through the last few weeks. We've been talking on the theme of righteous living, and we've been looking at Matthew chapter 6. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus references three disciplines and that we've been sharing on the last few weeks, particularly prayer and fasting, but he also mentioned the discipline of giving. And so really Matthew 6, it's found within Matthew 5 to 7. It's the Sermon of the Mount. It's Jesus' first sermon ever recorded. And his sermon is pretty much directed at the issue of the heart. So, you know, Jesus talks about things like, you know, the law, the Torah says you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus says, but I tell you that anyone who looks lustfully after another person has committed adultery in their heart. So Jesus is really trying to hone in to the issue of the heart. It's not just outward behavior, but it's the heart. And we all know the heart is the issue. The heart is the most deceitful thing of, you know, of all. I think Jeremiah says, most wicked and deceitful thing of all. And Jesus even says out of the heart comes all types of stuff like, you know, anger and, you know, all that kind of thing. So this whole sermon is about looking at the issue of the heart. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus begins that in the NIV. He basically says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in the front of others to be seen by them. And that is the key. Don't practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Jesus says that's the wrong motive of your heart. You practice your righteousness because it's between you and God, not between you and anyone else. And he lists three disciplines. He elaborates on what those righteous acts are. He lists three disciplines: giving, prayer, and fasting. And as we've said over the last couple of weeks, when we come to pray, when we come to fast, even when we come to give, it's between us and God. It's not between anyone else. So if you're giving in order to get rewards from others or to get the pat on the back from others, or if you're praying in order to someone to come and pat you on the back and tell you how spiritual you are, or if you're fasting and you want people to think that you're spiritual fasting, you're doing it for the wrong motive. And it means, and in a sense, it kind of means nothing to God. Jesus says you're better off going in the quiet spaces so it's just you and God. So you pray, it's just you and God. It's give, it's just you and God. You fast, it's just you and God. Because that's what the motive of the heart. That's what it should be. When God tells us to give, we just give. When God tells us to pray, we should pray. We should pray without ceasing, Paul says. And the same with fasting. And it's interesting, I asked the question last week, why did Jesus pick those three disciplines as these are your acts of righteousness? He picks those three disciplines, giving, prayer, fasting. And I kind of think, why? Why not loving one another? Why not being kind to one another? Why not caring for one another? And I think the reason why he picks giving, prayer and fasting, because when we do that with the right heart and the right attitude, it actually shows that our true dependence is on God. Our true dependence is on God. When we give in response to what God has done for us and we live a generous life, we are giving knowing that God will always put seed in our hand. We are giving knowing that God is our provider. He always provides seed to the sower. And so when we give, we're relying on God that he will bring the provision, not our employer, not the government, but it's God. God says, faith promise giving, I want you to give this amount of money. And you kind of think, oh, that's a bit of a step of faith, but it's okay because God's my provider, not my employer, not the government. I don't have to wait and just believe for a pay rise. No, God says, if he puts on my heart, this is what I want you to give, I'm just going to give it because I know that he's going to provide seed for that. That makes sense. So you're relying, your dependence is on God. Same with prayer. We all like to fix things. Something breaks down, we want to fix it. But what happens if something breaks down you can't fix? Like a broken marriage, like a child that's gone off the rails, gone into drugs or gone into alcohol, can't fix it. What about a body that's just, you know, it's got sickness right through it? Doctor can't fix it. I can't fix it. Where do we go? What do? Who do we turn to? We turn to God. I need your help, God. So prayer, in a sense, prayer shows our true dependence is on God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Creator, the Redeemer. And it's the same with fasting. Fasting, yes, we need nutrition in our physical bodies, but Jesus says our sustenance comes from the Lord. True sustenance, it comes from God. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every spoken word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Scott shared a word this morning where you said, Scott, the words jumped off the page. It was like God was speaking to you directly. It was like a rhema word. That's what Jesus was referring to when he says, man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by the spoken word of God. It's a spoken word that gets you through the tough times. It's not chocolate that will get you through the tough times. You'll have chocolate, as I said before. 10 minutes later, you'll feel sick. Maybe half an hour later, maybe an hour later, you'll feel sick. But it's the rhema word of God, the spoken word of God. When God speaks to us and we get that word, we receive that word, that gives us strength, that gives us courage to get through each day, if that makes sense. So giving, praying, fasting, It shows us that our true dependence, when we do that with the right heart and the right spirit, our true dependence is on God. So I'm going to pick up after that. These are the words that Jesus says. If we go to Matthew 6, verse 19. So he talks about giving, talks about prayer, talks about fasting, and then he says these words. And these words are quite confronting, as Jesus always was. I think Jesus would have been really challenging to be with Jesus 24/7. That's just me, but I just think if Jesus was able to see into your heart, he would know what you're thinking. And I just think it would be really, really challenging being around him all the time. But Jesus said these words, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Or where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Then he goes on to say these confronting words. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Very confronting words there from Jesus. When Jesus is actually giving, this is just part of his sermon. You cannot serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to the one, despise you the other. You cannot serve God and money. Or you cannot serve God and materialism, maybe another way of saying it. You know, don't store for yourself up treasures on earth, Jesus says, but store for yourself treasures up in heaven. I pondered on this. Don't store for yourself up treasures on earth. Because I think, you know, it's not necessarily wrong to, in a sense, to store up treasures on earth if it's for the right reason, for the right purpose. If it's used for the kingdom of God, if it's used for the glory of God. You know, if you're a good steward with your money, you give, God gives, and you give to the poor. Even leaving an inheritance for your children is a good and godly thing. That's not a bad thing. But I think what Jesus is saying when he said, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, I think Jesus is saying is don't run after those things. Don't run after those things and store up those things for yourself. Because when we start to run after those things and store up those things for ourselves, it leads to that issue called greed. And greed is not a good thing. In fact, Jesus' kind of parable he speaks here, if you go back to verse 22, Caleb, he says, the eye of the lamp of the body, if the eye is the lamp of the body, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. That's a Jewish proverb for a person who lives a generous lifestyle. So living generously back in first century Israel, when you lived generously, it was thought that your eyes are full of light. But it's when you're greedy, that's when the darkness starts to creep in. And he says, but if your eyes are unhealthy in your whole body, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great the darkness. So Jesus here is using like a kind of a parable about being generous and then being greedy. And so greedy is not a good thing. And we would all know that, yeah? Greed is not a good thing. And I think this is what Jesus is touching on here. It's the issue of the heart again. Not so much having treasure, and it's not so much having wealth. It's the issue of the heart. What are you chasing after? Is it all for me, and it's all mine? Jesus says, that's not a good thing. It's okay to, I mean, let's face it, like someone like Abraham was a wealthy person. King David was a wealthy person. Solomon was a wealthy person. But these guys are the heroes of the faith. It's putting it all into perspective and having the right heart. And how we use that is what Jesus is after here. When we're trying to accumulate it all for ourselves and greed starts to creep in, that is not a good thing. Luke chapter 12, Jesus actually speaks a parable on greed. He says, be on guard against all kinds of greed. And then he goes and talks about a farmer who yielded an incredible harvest and his barns weren't big enough. So he thought to himself, I'm going to build bigger barns for myself so that I can store my crops and then I can kind of like live happily ever after, you know, put the feed up and, you know, drink the, I don't know, have a nice time type of thing, you know. But Jesus says a person who lives like that is foolish. It's foolish. Greed is not a good thing. Merriam-Webster says this about greed. Greed is a selfish and excessive desire for more of something, such as money, than what is needed. The Cambridge Dictionary says greed is a very strong wish to continuously get more of something, especially food or money. So greed, Jesus, no doubt, I think Jesus here is speaking on greed. St. Augustine of Hippo says, greed is a deadly sin that suffocates the life of grace within us, blinding us to the needs of others and the providence of God. The great John Wesley said, greed is the root of all evil and the enemy of contentment. It blinds the eyes of the heart and keeps us from seeing the abundant blessings around us. Wow. And Dallas Willard, the more we desire material possessions, the less we desire God. Wow. The The more we desire material possessions, the less we desire God. Greed blinds us to the richness of the spiritual treasure available to us. And so in a sense, greed, where we're talking about, Jesus is speaking on giving and prayer, praying and fasting. When we do that with the right heart and the right spirit, it shows our dependence on God. Well, greed is kind of like takes us away from that. And Jesus says, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Don't store for yourself up on treasure on earth. Don't store for yourself treasure on earth for yourself. Don't go running after those things. Don't go focusing on those things. Don't desire those things. I mean, Jesus actually says at the end of Matthew 6, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And everything that you will need, God will add to you. God will give to you. But seek first the kingdom of God. That's the key. Putting God first. Our dependence needs to be on God. So nothing wrong with having treasure on earth. Just hear me say that. There's nothing wrong with having treasure on earth. It's the heart. It's the heart that Jesus is speaking to here. We shouldn't have treasure on earth and it's all for us. You know, like a little kid, when a kid's my toy, it's my toys, it's my toys, and they won't share it. God gives us stuff to share with others, yeah? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But then he goes on to say these words, and I want to focus on this just for a moment. In verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other. These are really strong words from Jesus. You can't serve two masters. You will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We cannot serve God and materialism. It can be anything. It can be anything. But Jesus is saying you can't have two masters. You can't. You can't have God and something else. And I think he's questioning his disciples here and he's asking them, who are you devoted to? Are you devoted to God? And if you are devoted to God, then it would play out in these acts of righteousness, in your giving, in your prayers, in your fasting. Are you devoted to God or are you chasing and focusing on other things? And I think that's the challenge that Jesus is throwing out to his disciples and to everyone else who was listening. Because at the end of the day, whatever we devote ourselves to, that's what we will worship. Whatever we devote ourselves to, whatever we're focusing on, that's what we will worship. Jesus says you can't be devoted to two things. You can't be devoted to both. You can't worship both God and whatever else it may be. You'll hate one and love the other. These are Jesus' words, by the way, not mine, okay? You will hate one. They're strong words. Strong words from Jesus. You will hate one, you will love the other. You cannot serve two masters. Where's your focus? Where's your devotion? Where's your undivided dedication? Who's it to? You can't serve two masters. You'll either love one or and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. So you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve both God and possessions or materialism. You cannot serve both God and the things of this world or the desires of this world. You cannot serve both. You'll either love one and hate the other. God cannot coexist with a second master, as he is the one and only. He will share his glory with no other. And if we establish another master in our life, then we end up hating God. Let me just say that again, right? As I said, these are Jesus' words. You'll either love one and hate the other. So if we set up another master in our life, we will end up hating God. They're pretty strong words from Jesus. Pretty strong words. But what he's getting at to his, what he's trying to get to his disciples is that as disciples of Jesus, our undivided attention and focus and dedication and devotion has to be God. It has to be God and nothing else, because he will not share his glory with anything else. It can't be, oh, but I've got God here on a Sunday and I'm doing I've got something else during the week. No, it is God or it's something else. Does that make sense? I reckon it would have been challenging hanging around Jesus. It'd be like, gosh. Anything can become a master when it consumes us. It consumes our time. It consumes our passions. And we can be a slave to anything that masters us. And it may not be money. It may be something else. But whatever it is, if something is mastering your life because you're spending your time, your focus, your passions, your even your finance on it, then it can become a master and you can be enslaved to it. There's nothing wrong with spending money on things, but it's putting everything in its right, proper place. And I remember Billy Graham, he wrote this incredible quote, and it said something like, give me 5 minutes with your checkbook and I can tell you where your heart is at. Give me 5 minutes with your checkbook and I can tell you where his heart is at. Now, obviously, he said that years ago. Don't necessarily use checkbooks anymore, but give me 5 minutes with your bank statement or give me 5 minutes with your credit card statement. I can tell you where your heart is at. This is why Jesus says, and he says these powerful words, he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Is your treasure with God? Is it with Jesus? Is it with the Lord or is it with other things? Cannot serve two masters. We'll either love one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. We all have to make a choice. At the end of the day, we all have to make a choice. Now, many of you have made a choice, which is awesome. You've made a choice. God is your number one. You're sold out for Jesus. That's incredible. But maybe there's some people here this morning that you haven't fully made a choice to follow the one true God, to follow Jesus Christ, that you're sold out and you've got your focus and undivided attention and dedication and devotion to God. Maybe there's someone here. I pray this morning that, you know, as you leave, you'd be challenged with a choice. In fact, maybe we all need to, you know, make that choice again. I don't know. But just hear the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Everybody has to make a choice. Some of you have made a choice already. Awesome. But everybody has to make a choice. We all make choices during the day. I don't know how many choices we get to make each day, but there'd probably be hundreds, probably even thousands of choices that we have to make each day. You read through the Bible. There are people in the Bible who had to make a choice. Adam and Eve, they had to make a choice. And they made the wrong one. Let's be honest. Adam and Eve had to make a choice and they made the wrong choice. Who is it that I follow? Who is it that I serve? Am I going to make the choice and obey the word of God? Or am I going to make a choice and am I going to obey the word that comes from the serpent? Am I going to obey God? Or am I going to obey the serpent? Am I going to obey God? Or am I going to look at the fruit that is pleasing to the eye and is desirable to the flesh? And they made the wrong choice. Let's face it, they made the wrong choice, yeah? They had a choice and they chose poorly, yes? Because we're bearing the consequences of their choices. Well, we're bearing the consequence of that choice today. The problems in the world today go back to the choice that Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden. All the problems that we have today, or many of them, the issue of death, it all goes back to Adam and Eve, of the choice they made. Everybody has to make a choice. Adam and Eve made a choice. They chose poorly. Joshua had to make a choice. Joshua 24, verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Sorry, would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a choice. He made a choice. Joshua was standing before he was to depart this life. He was standing before the nation of Israel. And he told the nation of Israel, you have a choice. You either serve God or you serve the gods of your ancestors or the gods of the Amorites. But he says, as for me and my house, we are serving the Lord. Joshua made a choice. And he was imploring the Israelites, you too have to make a choice. We all have to make a choice. Elijah at Mount Carmel, he challenged the Israelites that they had to make a choice. We all know the story of Mount Carmel, the big showdown when Elijah was up against the 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of, I think it's Asherah, and you know, they wanted to light the sacrifice, and whoever's God, you know, lit the sacrifice by fire, that was God, whether it would be Baal or whether it be the Lord, the God of Israel. And so there was this great big kind of contest that was happening on Mount Carmel. Listen to the words of Elijah before the contest actually started. Elijah went before the people. All of Israel's there. He went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And the people said nothing. Elijah, he's standing before the nation of Israel and he says, you guys have to make a choice. How long will you, what does it say? How long there will you waver between two opinions? How long will you sit on the fence? How long will you have your feet in both camps? Elijah says to the people, you've got to make a choice. Either serve God or you serve Baal. Can't serve both. Can't have both. Jesus says you cannot have two masters. You'll love one and you'll hate the other. You'll be devoted to one and you'll despise the other. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Jesus is God, if Jesus is the Son of God, follow him. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, follow him. I'll get you to come up, Sharon. Yeah, I love being part of a church. You know, you guys have made a choice this morning. And the choice you made this morning was to come into the house of God to worship. What an incredible choice you made. That's awesome. I love coming together to worship with my church family. There's something special about coming and gathering together and worshiping together. Something that you get here that you don't get at home when you're watching YouTube, church on YouTube. If I'm watching church I'm by myself on YouTube, not bad. It's okay. But if I'm coming in and worshiping with my family, guess what? Better. It's better. Because the Bible says, where two or three gathered, Jesus is here. If I'm at home on my own, and I want to worship while I'm on my own, that's great. But Bible says we're two or three gathered. Bible says where there's community, Jesus is here in our midst. You know Jesus is here this morning. Jesus is in our midst this morning. When we come to fellowship and gather together and we worship God and we love on God, guess what? Jesus present. His presence is here, manifesting amongst us this morning. I don't get that at home on my own. So you guys have made a choice, and it's been a great choice that you would come to church and gather together this morning. Awesome. You're making a great choice when it comes to, you know, being generous. This is a generous church, and you're giving your money in faith promise giving, and, you know, we're educating kids in Africa and educating kids in Indonesia and making disciples in Thailand and helping the persecuted church and our brothers and sisters who are living in places that are really horrible and dangerous to live as Christians. It's incredible. We make a choice. It's a choice that we made. But there may be someone here this morning that you've never made a choice to follow Jesus. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Do you want to just stand? And we'll just maybe dim the lights and we can just stand and every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, you may not have made a decision to follow Jesus. Or maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus once And maybe, you know, you're brought up in Sunday school. Maybe you went to church, but you know what? You've been out of church. You're not following Jesus. You find yourself back in church. I just want to give you an opportunity this morning, an opportunity to make a choice. Today you can choose. You can choose to follow Jesus, who's the Son of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But just by putting up your hand and saying, you know what? I haven't made that decision before. I'd love to make it this morning. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, the sin issue, particularly because of what happened with Adam and Eve, the decision that they made. Decision that they made, it brought separation between us and God. But not only brought separation between us and God, but the guilt of Adam and Eve's sin falls on us as well. Original sin. We're born with sin. We're born in sin. And there is no way to solve the sin problem unless what the Bible says, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no washing away of sin, or there is no washing away of our guilt. So without coming to Jesus and accepting Jesus for what he's done and washing us clean with his blood and atoning for our guilt, we're going to stand before Almighty God in guilt. And I can tell you now, no one will get into heaven if they're carrying guilt. No one. But God has provided a way where he is forgiven our sin and he washes us clean from guilt. It's the sacrifice of Jesus. His sacrifice, his shed blood forgives us from our sin. His blood is powerful enough to forgive every sin you've committed. His blood is powerful enough to wash you clean from the guilt of your sin. If you're here this morning and you haven't made a choice to follow Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now. Do you want to throw your hand up? Throw it up high. And I'd just love to pray with you this morning. Or maybe you've drifted and you know you've drifted away and you know that you need to make that step, need to make that choice, that decision to come back and come back to the Father through the Son. If that's you this morning, you want to throw up your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Is everybody right with God this morning? Has everybody made the decision to follow Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior? Lord, I just thank you for the decision you made to send Jesus into the earth. I thank you, God, for the body of Christ that came and offered up himself as a sacrifice, that he would die that horrible death on the cross, that he would shed his blood for the sin of mankind. I thank you, Lord, that through Christ that we can be reconciled back to you. I thank you, God, that it's through Christ that our sins are forgiven. It is through Christ, Lord, that our guilt has been washed away. And I thank you that we can stand justified before you. Justified, just if I've never sinned. Righteous, clean, sanctified. We thank you, Jesus, for the price that you paid. Thank you for laying down your life for us. This morning, Lord, we thank you for your word and thank you for speaking into our hearts. We thank you, God, that Well, we thank you for the challenge of the choices that we make. I pray, God, Holy Spirit, help us each day to make the right choice. Help us each day when we get up, Lord, that it'd be a choice that we would seek your kingdom first. Lord, that our hearts would be devoted to you, that our focus and attention, our undivided attention would be on you. Lord, I pray you'll help us just to be sold out for you as you were sold out for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Shall we finish with a song? I think so. Any requests? What about Oh Happy Day? How about we go with that one?